think we'll go ahead and get started. We have finished two attributes over the last few weeks. Okay, the attribute of a sanctified assembly. And as a follow-on, one of the things we want to do is not just learn, but we want to put it into practice as a church. Okay, I'm praying. Just maybe turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Or Revelation chapter 3. I just want to share what the Lord has impressed on my heart. This is a personal one, but it was an instruction that God spoke to the angel of the church at Sardis. And as I was reading that, I was impressed in my heart to ensure that as a church, we practice what the Lord wants us to do. Okay, Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Let's read together. Okay, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. That was a rebuke for me, okay, for me. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be clear about what He stands for. And as a church, we will learn what God wants us to learn, and then we will actually actively practice. Because that's what God wants us to do. And the key thing is to strengthen the things that remain and that are ready to die. I mean, as I heard that, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. We need to be able to be accountable to Him, to be obedient to Him as we serve Him. All right, so that's just a heart of mine. But hopefully that we will be able to hear from the Lord. And whatever we learn, we want to practice as a Christian. Okay, no sense learning it without actually practicing it. Many Christians learn, but they don't practice. And after a while, they forget. And they find that we go through discipleship again and again and again. We don't want to do that. We want to learn. We want to start doing so that we can start growing. Okay? So we do the sanctified assembly, and that's why we're going through the dressing, okay, every Friday. And we specifically want to ensure that we dress in a way that will honor the Lord. Okay? Because your dressing is a reflection of your heart. Just think about that. The way you dress is a reflection of who you believe God is and how holy God is. And it will be reflected in our dressing, knowing how we feel about how we dress, but how God wants to see us dress, okay? Then we talk about the surrendered assembly the last time. What's the meaning of surrender? For those who are here, what's the meaning of surrender? What's the meaning of surrender? Meaning of surrender? Anyone? Can you remember? Yielding your powers to another authority, usually a higher authority. Okay, so render means to give. Surrender means to give to someone else. Okay, give our powers to someone else. Okay, and today, for those who remember a few months ago, even last year, I think at least, I actually SMS people about one word for this point: seek the Lord first. Okay, I don't seem to be able to find one word that would describe seek the Lord first assembly. But we're going to be moving on to the next attribute that God, I believe, wants us to be. To be an assembly of God, a Christians that will seek the Lord first in everything. Okay, we have a situation in the world today that people would seek counsel from other people first. They seek their own opinions first. They seek a psychologist first. But I know as a Christian, we need to seek God first above everything. All right. So today we'll be going to that. Let's have a word of prayer, and then after we'll start. Okay. Then we can learn what God wants us to learn. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the people that have come. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move among us to teach us, Lord, your word. God, it will not just be a time that we come and listen. But God, we will actively listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to the impression of the Holy Spirit on our hearts, to the speaking of God from heaven that will speak to us in our hearts regarding certain areas of our lives. Oh Father, help us to teach you to seek you first in everything that we do. And now as we learn, as we see, Father, from the Bible, to have a comprehensive view as much as we can, Lord, to understand what it means to seek you first. Lord, you came to seek us, so that we can seek you. And Lord, we ask that whoever that is here will have an impression in their hearts to always put you first in everything. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray that this session will be fruitful. We pray that our hearts will be open to you and your precious word. We pray for the children's Sunday school. They will give power to the people leading it. And that, Father, the children will come to a place of discipleship and learning, Lord, what it means to be a Christian. And that many children, Lord, will find faith in Christ and the hope of eternal life. And we'll thank you. Give us strength and give us wisdom to understand your lesson today. The Lord, you will help us to be better people, better Christians. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now some of you will actually have the notes, right? Robin Kwong, do you need the Chinese, English? Do you have? Oh, no, huh? Okay. Okay, we do have two Chinese visitors, Mr. Fu, right? Fu, okay, they're from Beijing, okay? Okay, they just came. Sister Maria was talking to them and then basically trying to catch a fish there, and thank God they came. Their children is upstairs. Or rather, one child is upstairs because they want them to be involved with some English-speaking people. So he's here to invest. So let's pray for his soul. Let's pray for God to move in their hearts. Okay, they stay in Woodlands. All right, so if you want to invite them out for... 我叫他们请你吃马来餐还是什么呢？不要乱开玩笑。 Okay, we'll be starting, all right. In introduction, in the Seek the Lord Assembly, we want to go through from the beginning, how God actually... What happened in the beginning, and why is it that God wants us to seek Him today, all right? So if you have your notes, you just follow along. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. As you are turning there, I will just go ahead and let you know that at the beginning of creation, from the beginning of creation, God intended for us, man and God, to have a close relationship, right? Okay? God wanted man to have a close relationship with Him. But after man sinned, man has chosen not to follow the Lord, okay? Man has chosen not to follow the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, okay, this is a verse that I use oftentimes, and I believe it's a very clear Bible principle about what God did initially and how man chose to go their own way. Okay, Ecclesiastes 7:29. Let's read together. Okay, ready? Ready? 1, 2, begin. Lo, this only have I found, that God had made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said this: I have discovered in my finding of wisdom in this world that God actually made man upright, which is true. God made man upright. You realize one thing, when the babies are born, all right, this has to do with Adam and Eve, but if you think about that, when a child is born, of course we know a child is born with a sinful nature, all right, but generally a child will listen. But you know, after a while, when the instructions are given, you find that the child actually, because of the sinful nature, will continue to move in a wrong way. Okay? And so that's why it's important for us to take note of this fact that when God made us, He made us to follow Him. But when we go out of the way, or rather, when we do wrong or move out, oftentimes it's because of human nature, we want to go our own way, because of sinful nature. The sinful nature does not want to seek God. The sinful nature does not want to seek what God wants. Even as Christians, sadly, we come to a point that sometimes we think that we know better than God. And as a result, we begin to move in a direction that we think is right. And you know what many Christians try to do is they spiritualize it and say, well, I believe this, I believe this. But when you look at what God says, we've actually moved out of the way. Okay? So just to give you a background there. So from the first instance of seeking for someone, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. The first instance of seeking for someone is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. The moment man left God, and Christians, what an encouragement. When we leave God, God doesn't leave us alone, amen? God actually comes searching. And you know what? Even up to today, He is still coming out to search for people. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. After they have sinned, the Bible says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. One of the things as I was studying this is interesting. The Bible talks about seeking the face of God. Yes? Seeking the face of God. The word face of God has to do with the presence of God. Okay? You just drop that in your mind there, because it's important. Every time you say, I sought the face of God, what the psalmist actually is meaning is, I'm seeking the presence of God. I want God to be, just like, it's an old way of saying, I'm looking to be with my friend. But actually, I'm seeking the face of my friend. Does that make sense? Okay? So here, interestingly, man, because of sin, walk away from God, walk away from the presence of God, to do what God wants, rather do what they want rather than what God wants. But notice in verse number 8, after that, okay, they hid from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam. You know, there's learning lessons here. God calls, he doesn't pull. He calls, hello, June. Whether or not Brother June will respond. Oh, Joshua. No, God will call. Whether or not we will respond is a different thing. But you know what? The exciting thing and encouraging thing, God was seeking for man when man left. Okay? And from ever since then, God has been seeking for man. So let's turn to a few verses. Okay? What is God seeking man for? Maybe if Jacob, you can turn to Luke 19:10. Edward, you can turn to Isaiah 6:8. And Brother Timothy, Coriano, you can turn to Ezekiel 2:30. Okay? So ever since then, the Lord has been seeking for men. Alright? Have been seeking for men. Luke 19:10 was seeking men for what? Can you read the verse?
Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Okay, he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, so he's seeking men for salvation. God has been trying from the beginning of time to seek men for salvation. Oh, it's so important. You know who God uses to seek for salvation? Us. Do you realize, many years ago I was in the church, and there was this thinking that God has no hands but our hands, God has no feet but our feet, God has no mouth but our mouth. God uses us. And if you study the scriptures, it's interesting. In the Old Testament, God used visions and used prophecies and used all these things. But in the New Testament, God uses men. In the salvation of Cornelius, for example, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was worshipping God, right? But he wasn't saved. And then what did the angel told Cornelius? The angel came to Cornelius and said, well, go to Joppa, find this man Peter, he will tell you what to do. Isn't that, in Singapore, the angel will be sad. It's not productive. Why don't you do it yourself? Does it make sense? Why don't you just do it yourself? You know what? From there, my conviction is, ever since that passage, my conviction is throughout the scripture, God uses men. It's a privilege to be serving God. Amen? It's a privilege to have the King of Kings appoint us. I want you to go. God has been using men ever since to seek men for salvation. Okay? The next one, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Lord is seeking for men for service. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Who will go for us? I believe very much God is still asking the question this morning. Okay? Who will go for us? Who will go and do Bible study with three girls that is under the influence of JW that we managed to meet in our tracting? Who will go for us for the, I think, more than 6 contacts of the Filipinos in Yishun? Who will go for us to minister to a lady who told me that the neighbor there had a severe accident and she's concerned for the children who is just close up? Who will go for us? God asked the question as an open-ended question. You know what Isaiah did? Lord, me. Send me. Me, Lord. No, God is still seeking that today. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, God is seeking for someone to stand in the gap. In this society in which we live, there are many people who just headed down the wrong way. Agree? Many teenagers, maybe young adults, maybe youth, many children are headed down the wrong. We thank God that there are people within this church, and I'm sure many of us have that heart, to just what happened because of someone speaking, we are able to get 3 new people today. And our goal, remember, the Great Commission has to be strongly etched in our hearts. We must go everywhere carrying the Great Commission as individual Christians everywhere we go. Because the moment we do that, we stand in the gap for someone else. Say, this guy is going to hell. I'm going to stand in the gap to block as much as we go. Remember, there was one time I shared, Spurgeon was saying that, look, if anyone would have to go to hell, make sure they have to fight us to go to hell. In other words, we will push them back as much as we can. They have to knock us over. They have to jump over us. But, you know, be that. Be someone, the hindrance to them from going to hell. Shout at them. Scream at them. Do everything you can to stop them. God is asking for someone to stand in the gap. Okay? So ever since then, God has been using men, okay, for salvation, for service. Or rather, he's seeking men to be won to Christ for service and for standing the gap. Now, let's turn to Genesis 4:26. I'm giving you an introduction of the background, all right, of seeking. The first instance of seeking the Lord. Can anyone roughly know where is it? There's a first time that the Bible says, see, God sought man in Genesis 3. There's a first instance that men begin to seek the Lord. Okay, in verse 26. Genesis 4:26. I'll read from verse 25, then you can actually know a bit of the background. Adam knew his wife again. The word knew has to do with marital relationship. They actually have a child and bear him a son. Call his name Seth. For God said, she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom God slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. From that time onwards, apparently God, there was many people who were beginning to seek the Lord. People began to seek the Lord after that, okay? Now, what was the outcome of this seeking of the Lord? What was the outcome of seeking the Lord? It's interesting because if you actually read, when men begin to call upon the name of the Lord, that phrase itself in the Hebrew, it actually has an idea. Men begin to call on the name of the Lord based on their own ideas. Who they think God was. Just like Cain. Just like Cain. They did. You know why? Because the outcome in Genesis 6. What happened? Let's turn to Genesis 6. What happened when men began to call on the Lord? So for those who just came in, we're looking at introduction of the seeking the Lord. How God sought men initially and men seek the Lord now. But in Genesis 6, the Bible says in verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then going down to verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, if men seek God, shouldn't they get better and better? Shouldn't they get closer and closer to God? The Bible says actually the earth got worse and worse. Why? Because when they sought the Lord, they sought based on their own ideas. Based on what they think it should be. Based on how they have been generated. I was just talking to our visitor just now, and apparently in she was sharing an instance whereby people in that country, in Beijing, actually have an idea that pastors are bad from young. They this cartoon, I think, or something, they believe, I can't remember, he was speaking in Mandarin, it was very good, but he did say that the impression that the young children have in cartoons was pastors are bad. So impression is bad, all right, from the beginning, okay? And so when they want to try to seek the Lord, they don't want to seek the pastor. They're going to seek something else, okay? And so the result of men seeking the Lord from Genesis 4:26 all the way, things got worse. You know, if you look at that, it's a reflection of our so-called biblical, so-called Christianity today, that a lot of Christians in different churches seek God in a way that they think it's right. In their music, in their way of service, they think, they start to rationalize certain things they want to put in their church. Why can't we use this? Why can't? It's always the why can't. All right. When we seek the Lord, after I'll go through the principle, you will find that the more people want to seek God on their own terms, the further away they'll go from God. Okay, let's turn to three principles. God, in the history of the patriarchs, was setting up a process that will facilitate his people to seek for him. Just like if anyone wants to come to Singapore, if you seek to come to Singapore, you have to fulfill certain criteria. Okay, I think I used this before when I was in Pangasinan in the Philippines. We're trying to win. One of the members had a mom. They call it 99, right? Mom is 99, right? Huh? 99? They call 99 is 99, right? Yeah. Okay, so the mom was seeking to go to Canada because the family, some of the family is already there. And so, but she said, oh, yeah, la, only visa la got problem. Because we're already in the midst of sharing the gospel with her and all that. Then I said, Nanai, you want to go to Canada? I said, yeah. Well, how come cannot? I said, because a visa problem, la. They want something, but we haven't been able to do it, you know. So I changed and said, see, in the same way, Nanai, your visa to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's free. And yeah, she smiled and didn't want to do anything about that. You see, it's interesting. When we see God, we must see God on his terms. After we go through the three principles, okay? God, in the history of the patriarchs, was setting up a process that will facilitate his people to seek him. Let's turn to three passages. Exodus chapter 19 first. Exodus 19. Three principles of God reaching out to men. Okay, God reaching out to men. And it's a very important principle that we have to always remember in how we need to seek God. Okay, number one, God calls people to himself. God calls people to himself because by nature, man doesn't want to seek God. Agree? How many of us wake up in the morning, first thing, maybe some do, but first thing, God, I want to seek your face this morning. Or rather, how many of us say, I got assignment. I got this, I got that. How many of us will get up with the first impression of seeking God? We have to understand God calls people to himself. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4 to 6. Let me just read that. The Bible, God actually told the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God had to work through a mediator, Moses. There was no way God was able, there's no way God can speak to the entire people. You know why? They'll die. But God used Moses as a mediator. You will speak these words to them. Okay? So it's very presumptuous for people to say, well, God is my buddy. No, he's not. He's your God. He's holy. Doesn't mean that we cannot go to him. We can. But we must have this attitude whereby, remember, God calls us to himself. Okay? Another two verses, Psalm 14, verse 2. Let's turn there. Maybe I can get Brother Desmond, if you can turn to Psalm 14, verse 2. And then Brother Jun, if you can turn to Psalm 53. These two passages tell us, actually, no one in this world will ever want to seek the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Okay, Psalm 14, verse 2 and 3.
Psalm 14, verse 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together. There is none that doeth, no, not one.
Psalm 53, verse 2 and 3. Okay, the Bible says God himself looked down from heaven. You know, God's radar is very big. He scanned the entire earth. The Bible says there's no one who's looking for me. You know what God did? Then I will look for them. Amen. No one is looking for God. That's why the very first principle is God has to call men through appointed people whom God has moved in their hearts, like Noah and Moses and Joshua. And in modern day, do you realize in modern day context, are Christians with a heart to reach out to the lost? That God will call and say, oh, Brother Joshua, someone had to share the gospel with you. Yes. All of us. Someone had to share. God has to call through someone before we actually accepted Christ. That's what it means. If we have never contact with Christians, you know, we just go on in our life. If those two have never spoken to the Maria, and they wouldn't have, they just continue their life, investing and all that, and go home and die and just go to hell. God has to call. And God today uses us. God calls men to himself. Number one. Number two, God gives them his way to approach him. Let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 22, 24. I'm going to the Old Testament because that gives us a historical picture of what's happened and how God brought us to the point. Okay? I'm going to lead on to what does it mean for us to seek God. But in Exodus 20, verse 22 to 24, let me just read there. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Verse 23, you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. God made it clear to the Moses to tell the children of Israel, I don't want any gods of silver. I don't want any gods of gold. I don't want anything that you have carved yourself. I want you to take as plain and simple, come in simple simplicity to me. All right? If you look down to verse number 25, and if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. If God wants us to build an altar to him, and we add in what we think God would like, but God has not prescribed, God says, I'm not interested. In the context of that, God is just saying, look, I want an altar of simplicity, of sincerity, or the person just do. You know, sometimes in this world of so-called wanting to... there's a difference, we'll talk about that in future weeks. There's a difference between excellence and showmanship. Agree? There's a difference between excellence, doing your best, and showmanship. Excellence is you doing your best for God. Showmanship is you trying to portray yourself to people. Does it make sense? Okay? And it's very important for us as Christians to make the distinction between two. God wants simple, sincere worship to do our best for God. That's why an ambassador, one of the principles we want is when people do their best, we encourage him. But if there's something lacking, we need to push that person, encourage him, and train that person in different ways. That's why for the chapel, we go through certain things. They already have the heart. They want to do it. So let's systematize it and give them clear guidelines, biblical principles, so that they can actually do a better job. All right. One of the goals is after the chapel, training is over this coming Saturday, we will actually maybe meet once in every 6 weeks to brainstorm and see what are the issues we face and how we can get better. Help our children. The key thing is to help our children so that we can have a generation that will be able to serve God. But coming back to this, God wants us to do our best, but it has to be his way. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 12:5. It's even clearer here. God just set a preliminary requirement there, but he goes into very specific details in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. There's a pattern of the Old Testament, okay? Then I'll give you a pattern in the new. Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, the Bible says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. God made it clear there's only one place in the entire place of Israel that he will accept his offering. Where's that? The temple at Jerusalem. Nowhere else. That was why when the kingdom of Israel split into two, when Jeroboam started to shift the place of worship to Gilgal, a different place, it was an abomination to God. In fact, God says as a result of that, Israel went down all the way. There were no revivals in the children of Israel. But you know what? Okay, let's turn there. Let's turn, is it First Samuel. I believe. Wrong, not First Samuel, sorry. First Kings. And number 12, I believe. Let's see. Solomon sought to kill Jeroboam. Okay. 13. Okay. First Kings chapter 12. Well, let me just share this with you. I was signing this many years ago, many months ago. The Lord really spoke to my heart about trying to change what God intended in the first place. Okay? Look at verse number 30. It's Gilgal. Verse number 27. If these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Okay, just give you a background. The kingdom of Israel is one under Solomon. Rehoboam was supposed to be the successor. Jeroboam came back and there was a revolt. 10 tribes followed Jeroboam, 2 tribes followed Rehoboam. Okay, because Rehoboam listened, young people listened, Rehoboam listened to his peers rather than to the elderly advisors. And you will be in the same trouble if you listen to the opinions of your friends rather than listen to godly counsel. Rehoboam listened to ungodly advisors who say, why don't you really take control? And so he did that, and there was a split, okay? And so Jeroboam in his heart began to say this, hey, look, if these people continue to go to Jerusalem to do their worship, then they'll go back to God. Does it make sense? Because Jeroboam has already, the kingdom has already been split. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And so Jeroboam then said, verse 27, if these people go out to sacrifice in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Okay? Wherefore the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. Sounds familiar? Calves of gold. Calf. The golden calf. Egypt. Right? Exodus. And said, oh, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Oh, behold, thy God's Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He set one in Bethel and the other in Putting again. And this became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto then. He made an house of high priests, placed and made priests of the lowest of the people, which are not the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day in the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, interestingly, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. He made in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. In verse 33, so he offered unto the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he burnt incense unto the altar and offered unto the altar and burnt incense. The principle that I glean from this, and I hope we understand this, when God says do this, you say, yes, I'll do this, but I'll add something else. Or say, no, let's not do this, let's do something else. You know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? That's exactly what Jeroboam... Oh, we may have a semblance of what we have. God's not interested in that. God says, if this is what I've ordained, this is what it will be. You know, today, many people, God ordained good music, God ordained good ways of presenting ourselves before Him. God ordained that we need to be faithful. God ordained and said, no, we just kind of varied a bit. God says, I'm not interested in that. I want you to follow what I said. That's what Jeroboam did. And the principle is this. Jeroboam did it for, number one, selfish reason. Number two, he actually said, it is more, listen to the word, convenient for you to do this rather than do that. Okay? You know the principle, it's not a principle, the worldly principle is always convenience and comfort. I'm not saying we don't try to find the best way to do things. Okay? But in certain things with regards to spiritual life, we cannot shortcut. That's why when a person, I'll just use the people from another church wanting to be baptized, and we just say, no, we just have to follow what God says, because that's what God says. And we have lost many people, good people, who have come and they walked away because we showed them from the scriptures, this is what it says. Nope. And we're very clear, we didn't offend them. The word of God stumbled them. Okay, we have. There was one particular lady who was with us for one year. And when the time to join, said, no, sorry, we do not accept the baptism from a Pentecostal church because the doctrines are not the same. If we accept, it means that we are in agreement with the Pentecostal doctrine, and we are not. We cannot. We cannot. So we would rather be faithful to the Lord and His word and lose someone. And you know, as a result of that, that lady is not even in church anymore. Doesn't see the need to go to church anymore. You know, when she was here, she was doing her best. She was being encouraged and all that. Understand this. When we seek the Lord first, we cannot come up with our own ideas. That was what Jeroboam did. And I believe very much today in many Christian circles, I don't aim to judge. I can't because I'm just a man. But based on what God said, Jeroboam did of his own heart. If you look at the spectrum of how Christians are serving the Lord today, God help us to come back to the reality that when we seek God, God expects us to seek Him after His own heart, His word. Okay, God gave us His approach to approach Him. Do you realize during the children of Israel time, they cannot go straight to God, they have to go through the priests. Yes? Now, isn't God very petty? No, He's not. You cannot approach the holiness of God without a mediator. You can't. But when Jesus came to be the mediator, He settled all that for us. Then we can have direct access to seek the Lord. Amen? That you and I, in your own homes, are priests unto God. When you open the Bible, you are just like the priests who study the Bible. When you pray to God, you're just like the priests who pray to God. Direct access. You know why? Because the mediator has settled everything. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says what? For there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay? So, any questions on this? Okay, the next point is, okay, first one, He calls people to Himself. He gives us His way. Gives us His way to approach. In John chapter 4, verse 23, I'll just read that. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Interesting, right? The Father seeketh such to worship Him. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit. The word spirit has to do is in sincerity, in the Holy Spirit, genuinely submitting to Him, and in truth. Biblical truth. And I say there are many, many, many ways of expressing truth. But you know what God says? It's my truth. It's only my way. And just like if you come for my wedding, then God, it's already over. But you know what? The wedding is still continuing in our hearts. You come there, you go there, there are certain things which would require of you. Alright? Okay, of course, I mean, in a very loose sense. But you know what? You cannot come, hey, I want to, sorry, your wedding on the 15th, I cannot come on 14th, can? No, you can't. Your wedding 11:15. Can we come at 2 o'clock? Is that okay? Can you shift your wedding? No, we can't. 11:15 means it's 11:15. We will shift everything to meet that, right? In the same way, when we approach God, God says, this is the way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father except by me. And He means it. There is nowhere else to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? In some countries of the world, you can go to jail for that statement. And I think if this is being broadcasted, I can go to jail too. Because the interreligious organization is not going to have that. We want peace and harmony. But I'm not inciting anything. It's just what the Bible says. Okay? So, point number 3, God invites us to seek Him. God invites us to seek Him. Matthew 11:38, Jesus says, come unto me. That's an invitation. Come, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Up to now, we're talking about introduction, is the pattern that God has given to us. God has to call us. He invites us, and He gives us His approach to approach Him. When we understand that, then it sets us in the proper framework of how we need to then seek God. Does that make sense? In your universities, in your JCs and all that, does your tutor or your lecturer tell you at certain times only you can go and find him and all that? Is that true? Is it true? Like, okay, maybe at 2 o'clock or 5, I won't be. I think it's because of practical reasons. I won't be there or whatever. Some of the lecturers in Australia, what they do is they have an open door policy. In other words, you just leave the door open. You want to walk in and ask them, they are fine with that. But some said, no, I'm sorry. I had this honest, she's so disciplined. Her room is so neat and clean. Everything, you know, everything, she knows where it is. So it's like, okay. She said, I only see you at this time to this time. And any other time you call, no, I'm sorry. You can only see me at this time. You know what? Thank God, God is available to us all the time. But God has certain things that He expects of us to fulfill in order to approach Him. Okay, after this, we'll talk about what are some of those things. Okay, any questions up to there? Some scriptural commands. Okay, before we go on to the next one, remember, if God invites us to seek Him, our duty is to respond. Yes? Our duty is then to respond to Him. Okay? A non-believer will never respond to God without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But the scripture commands for us as His people to seek the Lord. In Isaiah 55, maybe I'll get some people to read a message over here. If maybe Uncle Roland, you can turn to Isaiah 55, verse 6. If Sister Elizabeth, are you able to? Yeah, okay. You take Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Then in Rod Taylor, you can turn to Matthew 7, verse 7. And then Sister Agnes, Matthew 6, 33. Then if Rod Song Ling, you can turn Colossians 3, verse 1. Okay? Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Okay, seek the Lord while He may be found. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Zephaniah. Sorry. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew 6, 33. Colossians 3, verse 1. Okay, those are pretty clear scriptural commands. Right? I don't have to explain any of this. All right. After this, I'll explain some. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Ask and shall be given, and seek and ye shall find. Seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Colossians 3 verse 1, seek those things which are above. God says to seek. Seek the heavenly things. Seek the spiritual things. Seek the things that are of heavenly value. But you know, many Christians don't do that. I mean, I'm here to remind us, God asks us to seek Him first in everything. As His children, as His disciples, as people who follow Jesus. This is also for me, alright? I'm supposed to seek God first too. I'm just teaching from God's word. God is very clear. In all that you do, seek Him first. Okay? Now, what does it mean to seek the Lord? Anyone would like to? How many of you have? I'm sure some of you have. For those who have practice seeking the Lord before, what does it mean to seek the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? Okay, maybe just have an honest. How many of you have never done that before? Have never sought the Lord before? Or rather, maybe I ask a question in this way. Who don't know what it means to seek the Lord? Also, all know, Okay? So what does it mean to seek the Lord? Okay, ask for His will for us. Okay, what else? What else? Finding out His will and do it. Okay, what else? What else? Anything else? May God to help us to make the right decisions. Yeah, so that we can live our life in the right way, right? Seeking the Lord means to find out His specific will in a specific situation. Okay? I have this. Seek the Lord means to place ourselves in a posture whereby we are able to know the will of God and to have the peace in our hearts that God has spoken to us regarding His will. To seek the Lord is to place ourselves in a posture. The word posture doesn't mean like standing or sitting. A posture means a place, a situation, a heart attitude. whereby we are able to know the will of God and then have peace in our hearts that God has spoken to us regarding His will. Okay? This is not, I want to be clear, this is not mysticism. You know what's mysticism? It is very prevalent. Okay? I also had to check myself because being formerly in the Pentecostal movement and having that, it is very easy to say God spoke to me. I need to change my language. I need to be very careful. Because this phrase God spoke to me is widely used by many people. God spoke to me. I say how? He wrote in the sky, or He shouted at you, or He sent you an email, or He faxed you. What do you mean by God spoke to you? Generally for us, when we talk about it, it's probably in the Word. Okay? However, some people, God spoke to me that so-and-so should marry me. Alright. That's scary. There was one joke about this man. At 11:59, he called this girl and said, I believe God spoke to me that you should marry me. He's going to say, God spoke to me too, no? He said, someone's going to call me you and tell you to marry him. Make sure you say no. So how do you know? This is, even in today's Christianity, there's this thing called Christian mysticism, whereby people are getting so-called new revelation. If it's new, it's not truth. If it's truth, it's not new. Truth has always been around, always in the Word. Because Jesus is the truth, and He has revealed to us what we need to know. So whatever that has been said by some people, God has shown me new things. Say, okay, then show me where. Is it here? Or it's not here? Or that means it's not true. Because the Bible says, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There is no light in them. You know, one of the scariest things is as Christians, we can be in that category as well. That when we speak, there is no light in us. Turn to Luke 11:35. I wanted to bring up on Friday, it slipped my mind, but and when I read this, God really convicted my heart about me needing to be a light for Him in the clearest sense of the word. Look at verse 34 first. The light of the body, Luke 11:34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. It talks about being focused, being committed, being knowing what God wants you to do. But when thine eye be evil, thy body also is full of light. Notice verse 35. This is what Jesus says. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Take heed, be careful, that the light that is in thee be not darkness. What does Jesus mean? Sometimes we think we are right. Jesus says, be careful, that the light that is in you, that you think is right, is not the very darkness that I'm preaching against. And how will we know? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know why we study the Bible so much? This is God's light to this world. And when Jesus said that, you know what? It scares me to death. You know why? He actually tells me, you better be careful what you say. That in me, as your pastor, I need to have the proper light from God's word. Because otherwise, I'll be leading you guys astray. You know, Sunday school teachers, those who will proclaim to teach your children the light of God, you make sure that it is not your opinions, the light of God. Because otherwise, sometimes our children, whoever will say, no, mommy, why can't I do this? Yeah, actually can. You need to be very careful before you say it's actually can. You need to make sure when you speak those words, it is light that your children can follow, and when they follow to the rest of their lives, they will say, hey, mommy, you say can, or daddy, you say can, actually cannot. We need to be very, very careful, okay? Jesus wants us to be careful. That's why when we seek the Lord, we need to seek the proper light, okay? Unfortunately, many people are not seeking the proper light. It involves a few things very quickly. It involves realizing, when we seek God, it involves realizing that God intends for us to seek Him. God wants us to seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom, or Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given, seek and it shall find. God wants us to seek Him. It is His will. Just as This morning I had to deal with my younger one while she was doing something which I felt it was not right. So I looked at her and said, why are you doing that? You know what? Interesting. She never fight me. She just explained. I said, that's not the right thing to do. And I've always told her that when you do something, you're not too sure, ask first. Ask first. Ask first. As parents, we always try to help, right? Tell the right thing if your children ask. But you know what? Things go wrong in the families because children don't ask their parents. They make decisions based on what they think rather than what should be based on the will of God. And for children, recognize it. If you're under the authority of your parents, the parents' rule is still what God wants us to follow. Okay? I'm sure our parents in our church won't tell our parents, children go and steal and all that kind of thing. They want the best. And so sometimes it may be hard to accept. But you know what? We just follow first, okay? And let God help us there. Number one, realize God intends for us to seek Him. Number two, it involves finding a place to be alone with Him and from people. Let's look at Mark 1:35. This is so important. I don't know what you were. I personally believe it's very hard to do your quiet time in the MRT. It's very hard because we read. And your eyes will go over the place. Okay? You need a time alone with God. Look at Mark 1:35. Jesus set us the example. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed where? Into a solitary place. A place where there is no one there. And there He prayed. And there He sought the Lord. And there He went to find God. Okay? I remember last time when I read the Bible, I had to read in the toilet. It's a solitary place. Last time it's harder, you know why? Last time, those toilet with seats wasn't invented yet.
Now my mom is... Wait,
Remember Topayo?
So when I went to the toilet, now she knows my secret.
And go there? Of course, I need to spend about 15 minutes. Well, you know, last time they didn't have those toilet seats that you can just close and then you sit down and read. Last time was all squat. So I just stood there and read the Bible. Okay? You need to find a place quiet. You know, sometimes even a husband and wife, you need to have your own time before the Lord so that God can strengthen you, that you can contribute to the family or to the whatever situation you're in. Okay? So find a place alone. Number three, resolve in your heart and mind to seek. Let's turn to this verse. It's very important. Brother Joshua, you can turn to 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19. And Sister Shaolin, you can turn to Ezra 7, verse 10. And then let's all turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 14. Okay? Resolve in your heart and mind to seek Him. 1 Chronicles 22:19. You ready? Just go ahead. Okay, we'll read Ezra 7, verse 10.
Ezra 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments.
Okay, in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19, David's charge of Solomon, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. When you seek God, your heart and your soul must be in there. When you do a Bible reading, yeah, it's a duty for us to read the Bible. But you know, some of us read the Bible and then close, especially children, because no one will bother them. You just read, okay, finish, close. You know what God says? You need to seek your heart and soul. In other words, when you open your Bible and say, God, I want you to speak to me. My heart is here, my soul is here. I switch out my handphone, I switch out everything else. God is you and me. We are one-on-one. Okay, we need to seek our heart has the idea of opening God, your own heart to God. Your mind means you are free from all distractions, more assignments for whatever that's bothering you. Say, God, this 20 minutes I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I think all of us will agree, when you set your heart and mind to something, you achieve it. Right? That's what God wants us. You know, we set our heart and minds for the projects of this world. Why don't we set our heart and mind on God to seek Him? Every time, that means every day of your life, 20 minutes, you just read the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. Can you imagine if you seek the Lord with all your heart for 20 minutes one day, 1 week you have sought Him, what, 7 times 20 minutes is 140 minutes. Times 1 month is, you've got lots of time that you're seeking the Lord, and God can speak to you in a lot of things. Okay? Ezra 7 verse 10 is a Sunday school. Let's turn there. Okay, sorry. Turn there. Keep your finger in Jeremiah. But Ezra 7 verse 10, you will find that Ezra actually made it a point. He prepared his heart to seek God's law first and to obey it first and then to teach in Israel. All the principles for all teachers and ambassador, you must seek the Lord and you must obey the Lord before you can teach. Because you can't teach if you're not obeying. Make sense? Because then it becomes a life principle. It's not just a... You realize you can buy Bible materials off the shelf and can teach it just like that, even though you don't do it? Yes? Yes? Anyone can grab a curriculum and teach. But only a Christian can impart biblical values that people can not only read, study, but they also can see. Ezra prepared his heart to seek God's law and to obey it, and then to teach in Israel. Okay? And then we're all in Jeremiah 29, right? Okay? Resolve in your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 14, the Bible tells us, then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God says, when you seek me only with all your heart, then you will find me. Because God is not interested in half-heartedness, Christian. God is not interested in us kind of just going through the motions. God is not interested. God wants us to give Him all our hearts. Because it's the only thing that He doesn't have. Okay? And so, resolve in our hearts as Christians to seek Him. Okay? The next one, it involves being still. Psalm 46, verse 10, being still. Be still and know that I am God. We need to be still. In other words, your most pressing exam needs to be set aside. But whatever that you'll be going through needs to be set aside. When you come to church to worship God, everything else must be set aside. Be still and know that I am God. And God says, I will speak to you. But have you ever tried to talk to someone who is running? He's jogging. He's like, oh, wait, sorry. Wait, I'm talking to you. He keeps running. You know, many of us, in Singapore especially, we are running. We are just running and running and running. And then sometimes God says, oh, I'm very tired, catch up with you. I cannot catch up with you. Of course, God can. Okay, illustration, God may be trying to speak to us, but we are always moving. God can't. We assume that He is, but we are so busy to even stay still to hear His voice. God says, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you. All right? Okay. The next one, it involves asking God to search our hearts. Okay, I think we all know that. Psalm 139, verse 22-23. Search me, O God, know my thoughts, try me and know my heart. God wants us, we need to ask God, you search my heart. You know what? You cannot ask God to search your heart if you're running around. We need to resolve to be still. Say, God, in the quietness, as you speak to me, Lord, what do you find in my life? And God, is this area okay? Is that area okay? God, am I doing the right thing here? Lord, am I moving forward? Lord, are you telling me to do that? You know, not only getting God to search you, but also asking God for direction. Okay, a few things involves prayer. I just read through. It involves prayer. Seeking Him involves prayer. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Number two, seeking Him also involves a meditation on His Word. When you seek God, how many of you have studied before and you really didn't understand something? What did you do after that? Let's say you study something and you don't understand, what do you do? Aranda, what do you do when you're studying, like maybe your physics, or you don't understand, what do you do? Go to the next topic. Okay. What else? Sorry? Think through it again. Okay. What else? Memorize. Okay. Interesting. Memorize. Okay. Anything else? If you don't understand something, what do you do? Ask. Okay. You can ask. Do you realize, the skipping of the next topic one is maybe you come back to it again. Yeah, it could be. Many Christians, when they don't understand the passage, they go to the next topic and they forget about it. God says you have to study. Do you realize memorization is actually part of meditation? There was one time I was memorizing Matthew chapter 6, a problem about the light of the body is the eye. I didn't really understood that until I memorized it. And said, oh, you know? Because you know what the Holy Spirit can teach us if we just spend time. You know why sometimes God has to get through our levels of our own opinions, what we think it is, before he removes it and start to show us the light. All right? We need to meditate upon it. We need to study the word. We need to think through it again. All these are principles of meditation. Not, that's not meditation. That's emptying your mind. Today you're taught empty your mind, so let whatever come in. That's very scary. God says, meditate on my word. Okay, the psalmist says, Psalm 119, verse 10, let the proud be ashamed. They have dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will, psalmist says, meditate in thy precepts. The word precepts is very interesting. You know what it means? The word precept is an established law. If you read it in the Hebrew tense, it means I will meditate in your established law, precepts. A statue to all generations, okay? Also the word of God. A statue is what? Something that is a monument. Something to remember someone by, right? Something that is fixed. Statues, judgments, all these are fixed. And David said, I will meditate upon your fixed law, okay? Next one, seeking the Lord may involve fasting, okay? How many of you have fasted and sought the Lord before? Rajani, not in our day and age. No, fasting is for present day. Okay, Matthew chapter 6 tells that. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, let me just read. It refers to Daniel when he was trying to seek God's wisdom on certain things that was happening. He didn't quite understand what was the future of Israel. And he started to fast and pray. All right, Daniel's fasting was a bit different. His was like a partial fast. He just drank water and he ate just bread. He didn't want to eat any of those like donut with lots of hundreds and thousands, you know. Those chocolates and all that. He didn't eat. So he just took plain bread and water. That's partial fasting, okay? And then the angel came to him and said, Daniel 10:12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God. The word chasten thyself before God refers to the fasting that Daniel put himself through to find out God's will. There's now some people who are saying, what do you mean by seek the Lord? To find out God's will, okay? Thy words were heard, and I've come for thy words. All right? The next one, seeking God involves waiting. God doesn't give you answers straight away. He can. We want to. Okay? Last time in the past, when your boss sends you an instruction to do, you can have 2 weeks break. Kind of, because it takes time. You know, if you have a big department like KK Hospital, they'll send the information through the internal mail. You go to the mail room, right? And after you go to the courier, and the courier will walk to your department, that will take about maybe 2-3 days. Because you got to sort out. Now is the boss, next 2 seconds, I must do another project. Then 3 seconds later, another one. You know, it's like, we're so stressed because of the email. All right, highly stressed. But you know what? God, when you wait on God, when you seek the Lord, you have to wait. You have to wait. And one of the things, well, my own personal, as I waited on God for the vision for ambassador, too many months of thinking and just praying over and taking a step of faith for that place, and then God laying it out clearly, government giving the authority, it's like, whoa, okay, God, you're confirming that for us. Waiting on God, waiting on God. Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. My strength was suddenly renewed as I began to write, hey, whatever that we're headed direction is where God wants us to head. And you know what? We need to be involved in that. Okay? And finally, in point E, seeking Him involves obedience. I'll just read in Chronicles 2 Chronicles 14:4. If you want to turn there, you can. 2 Chronicles 14:4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 46, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to do all the words of this law. God's word is not for us to discuss, it is for us to obey. The Bible is not a book of suggestion, it is a book of commandments for us to obey. Okay, it's not a discussion book. It's for us to obey God. And finally, of all this, well, I mean, I've got to do all this. But you know what? At the end, we need to realize there are blessings for seeking the Lord. God says, if you seek for me with all your heart, I will be found of you. God, it's a promise. I'll be touching on the meaning of promise in the service. It's a promise. God gave us a promise. You seek me, your heart, you'll find me. You will find me. God says you will. God doesn't play hide and seek with us. We play hide and seek with God. And of course, God knows where we are. You know, sometimes for us, we don't know. There was one time, sometimes as children, we don't know where God is. Not because God is not there. There was one time, there was this part, I think I shared before, I think those who know Marcus as a three-year-old, was crying, running around and all that. And those who know Susan, who are? Wendy, right? You know Wendy? Wendy looks like Susan, the mother. And so this three-year-old autistic boy, running around, and so when Wendy, out of kindness, you know, she's a nice lady, she carried her, and Marcus thought that Wendy was the mother, because she looks like the mother. Okay, and so she was hugging him, and then he cried. When he opened his eyes, that's not my mom. She quickly wriggled out and went to find her mom again. You know, sometimes we find our comforts in the wrong place, only to realize, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay, do you realize God doesn't leave us? He's right there. He just doesn't leave us. Why can't we find him? Why can't we find him? Is it possible that we're looking for him in the wrong places? In the crowd, our Heavenly Father is just standing there. Remember the prodigal son? God didn't run away. He was just exactly where he was. And the prodigal son knew that he went home to where Father was. And Father was there. Okay? They are blessings. God says, look, I love you so much. I'm not going to move from where I am. And the reason why you're complicated, you're confused, is not because I'm confusing, it's because you are walking away from what I told you in the first place. But God says, if you will seek me all your heart, I will be found of you. That's a promise from our Heavenly Father. Right, I like one, those who know Little House on the Prairie. You know Little House on the Prairie? It's a very old, it's kind of a serial, kind of family-related movie. They're Christians and all that. And I like one thing that the father was saying, Charles Ingalls, okay, he was working, you know, and the children came and said, Dad, we need your help. You know what Dad said? You've got it. Even without the children actually asking the dad. You know, the children said, Dad, we need your help. And Dad said, you've got it. How do you practice that? Whether or not, later on, it was something else, and Dad got angry. But our Heavenly Father's like that. You need my help? You've got it. Amen? 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 God says, I'm there for you. God is always me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, amen? God is always there for us. But Christians, we need to seek Him. We need to go to Him. We need to take the steps of faith, get rid of our pride, get rid of our unforgiveness, get rid of things, and just take your step towards God. He is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The reason why Christians mess up in their lives is because they don't seek God. Okay? It's just as simple as that. If you try to fix something that you don't know how to, why don't you just call up the repair center? They do it all the time. One of the reasons why I always go back to Kia mechanic is because they have training in that. Apparently, they have world competition of who's all the Kia mechanics of the world will come together and they'll compete against one another of how well they do it. So that's why I always go back to them when it comes to servicing. So because, and they do it and they try to do it. Their principle is do it well the first time. And usually it's quite good. All right? There are blessings in seeking God. You know, teenagers, can I challenge you to seek God with all your heart when you're young? If you don't seek God now, you will not seek God when you grow older. You know why? Because it's not a habit anymore. And the world will give you all kinds of things, okay? Well, I think we'll stop there. We'll continue next week. Please bring this, all right? We'll talk about some considerations for seeking the Lord. But next week, we'll be looking at some situations to seek the Lord. We're looking at how to seek the Lord in salvation if you're not a Christian. We're going to talk about how to seek God in secular decisions in your workplace and all that. How do we seek God in decision-making? We're going to So how to seek God when you talk about service decisions? How, when we want to serve God, what are the things and considerations the Bible has for us? And also in the situation, if I'm living a sinful life and want to come back to the Lord, what should I do? All right, we'll deal with all that next week. And also we hopefully will deal with, as a church, how do we put the Lord first in seeking Him? Any questions? Well, let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come and understand a little bit more of seeking you. Lord, as a church, we want to put you first. But God, sometimes in the distractions of our lives, we kind of just want the quick way, the easy way. Forgive us, Lord, many times for our impatience. Help us to know that you're a tender, compassionate Heavenly Father that always will give us the wisdom we need when we will just seek Him. So, Father, I ask for all of us that, God, you teach us to have a seeking the Lord first heart. That, God, you will be placed first in all our decisions, in all our friendships, in all our career decisions, in all our family life, in all, that, God, your will be preeminent. Your will be the first priority, because your word teaches us to seek ye priority first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And then you promise that as we seek you for all these things, will be added to us. I pray for everyone seated here who is a genuine Christian from the heart, who loved you and have surrendered, or at least have made a profession of faith. I pray from this day forth, you will burn in them a heart that they will seek you first in everything. Oh Lord, thank you that you promised that when we seek you with all our hearts, you will always be there. And God, we know even right now you're here with us. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, your grace will be so strong in our lives that it will be hard to ignore, and that, Father, we will just give our hearts to you because of the great love you have towards us. Thank you, Lord. We pray you help us to be a blessing to one another as we prepare for the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got about 15 minutes, so come back for the service.